Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Good to talk to you and everybody listening to the show right now. So, you know, got busy day today. But, yeah, let's talk about the big news in sports. Bryce Harper officially signing with the Phillies, 13 years, $330 million contract, MLB record for now until Aaron Judge signs an extension with the Yankees. But what else was I going to say? We'll also talk about John Tavares's infamous return back, you know, in front of the Islander crowd and his reception. We're also going to talk about the Knicks failing to tank lately, and two familiar faces from the Garden's past, you know, return to mentor the future. We'll get into that. And in the world of WWE, the biggest news about Kofi Kingston's potential match at Fastlane, which was pulled away from Vince McMahon on SmackDown. We'll dive into that and
Kofi,
whether or not that was a great idea or a bad idea. But most importantly, you know, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more, and we'd love to hear from you. But without further ado, let's talk about the big news. Bryce Harper signs the massive 13-year, 330 contract, and, you know, basically, unfortunately, I was right, you know. I know there was rumors that he might sign with the San Francisco Giants. You know, he might sign with the L.A. Dodgers. He might sign with the White Sox, but then White Sox dropped out probably a week or two ago. The Nationals, who's always waiting in the wings. And, you know, they originally offered him a 10-year, $300 million contract that was deferred, you know, which basically would have put them in a Bobby Bonilla situation if they would have, you know, if he would have signed that deferred deal. And, you know, basically the Phillies owner, I think his name is John Middleton, if I'm remembering right, he was right. He spent stupid money, man. You know, he really broke the bank. And, you know, I can't fault him for throwing the money at Bryce Harper, but 13 years, 330, that's beyond excessive. I mean, 10 years. I mean, 10 years is more than enough to get somebody. You know, I mean, I thought the Marlins signing Giancarlo Stanton to that extension, 13-year, $325 million contract was beyond splurging the money. But, I mean, it was a different mindset, because at that time, the Marlins are known for acquiring, you know, great talent, you know, prospects who are promising, and, you know, veteran talent that helped catapult them to win a championship in 97. Thursday broke up the team. And then afterwards, a few years later, in 2003, with a completely new team other than Jeff Conine, you know, they had another championship. So, and then afterwards they broke up the team again. So them signing Giancarlo Stanton to that extension at that point was like a sign that they're, you know, they're going to be committed to winning. And if you remember, I think what year was that? 2013. Was it 2013? Let me try to do the math in my head. It was 2012. They signed Jose Reyes to a huge deal. They had Ozzie Guillen as the manager. They signed all these great players. And then afterwards, they just, I think at the end of the season, or in the middle of the season, they just trading everybody left and right. Like, you know, that's the problem with that franchise. You know, when they win the wild card, they win a title. But, you know, the organizations, man, they just can't, you know, keep their teams together. You know, they always draft well. You know, they get the veteran guy who put them over the top, but they can never sustain a team in Florida. And that's why they're having, you know, this another horrible time down in Miami, because they can never maintain their talent. And as evident as last year, after they signed him to that deal, you know, they trade him away. They trade him away to the Yankees. And, you know, the cycle continues. So going back to Bryce Harper, you know, I understand the Phillies had to, you know, get a transitional franchise player, a guy who could turn, you know, their franchise around, you know, get them back to their winning ways. You know, I applaud the Phillies for doing that. 13 years was just like an extreme sign of desperation, but that's not even the worst thing about about them getting him. So apparently they had a press conference today, and Bryce Harper was saying he made a you know, you gotta give him credit. He gave such a passionate speech about bringing the title back to DC. There was only one small problem. He didn't re-sign with the Washington Nationals. He signed with the Philadelphia Phillies.
He forgot.
So I'm surprised, you know, the Philly fanatic did not attack him on stage. You know, well, then again, I didn't see the press conference, so you never know. That could have happened. But, you know, I mean, I applaud the Phillies for making a bold move, you know, to try to get themselves back to the playoffs. You know, they were this close to making the playoffs. The Braves was able to hold them off. And, you know, the Phillies, they made a lot of moves. You know, just like the Mets, you know, the Phillies got Realmuto, who the Mets was coveting, until they, you know, they settled for Wilson Ramos, who appears to be a perfect fit with the Mets organization, you know, with his veteran leadership and, you know, all those years playing with the Washington Nationals and that split season last year with the Rays and Phillies. So, you know, he'll definitely provide leadership and provide pop out of that veteran catcher position, as evident as the grand slam he hit, even though it is spring training. But, you know, both teams made big moves, you know. You know, I like the McCutchen signing for Phillies, the Realmuto signing, David Robertson, who has experience closing and setting up. You know, and then not to mention, you know, you have Keiko and Trimble out there still. So Phillies could still make another splash out there, because Kimbrel is attracting attention to all the, you know, the NL East teams, minus the Mets and the Marlins, including his former team, the Braves. So, yeah, the NL East is pretty much wide open, other than, you know, the Marlins. So, yeah, so it's a tough division for sure. You know, it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, as a huge Mets fan, I'm definitely going to be watching. And like Brody Van Wagenen said, come and get us. So, We'll see if the Mets can stay healthy and, you know, the pitching can, you know, pitch as advertised. And hopefully they can shock the world, like the Shockmaster. Shockmaster, but in a positive way.
Well, I like the move. Phillies are pretty much saying that, you know, they want to win now with this. You know, the contract, I don't like so much. Yeah, 13 years, what, $330 million, was it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a bit excessive. I mean, yeah, they could have gotten by signing him to a 10-year deal, but I guess, you know, this was Harper's doing. You know, I guess he wanted to sign for that long. So
And Boris.
But, yeah, I thought that was a bit, you know, excessive. But, yeah, man, Phillies, they got the job done. They got the guy they wanted. You know, well, the second guy they wanted, because they also wanted Machado, but they didn't get him. But I think it's going to – it bolsters their roster. And now they have added depth. And they have a very good team. They have a team that could possibly go to the World Series. You can make a case. You know, they're a World Series contender now with the addition of Harper. You know, it's now or never for them. So in the next several years, you know, they have to compete for the World Series. Or else this trade is a bust. Well, this signing is a bust, I should say. But I like the deal, man. I think it's a win-now move, and the Phillies are going to be very good next year. You know, they're going to challenge a lot of those teams in the NL East and in the National League overall. So the Phillies they're making moves.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. The only thing is that other than Nola, I think, you know, the Mets and the Nationals have a better rotation than they do. So, you know.
I don't think the Phillies are done.
I don't think
they're
going to
make more
either.
Moves, you know. They're going to add more. They're going to add some
pitching.
Yeah.
Gio Gonzalez is still out there, and Kimbrel's out there. So, expecting them to sign at least two out of the three. But knowing the Phillies, worst case scenario, they might sign all three.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Because
yeah,
unlike
they're
the
going
Mets,
all out.
Who's Mets are selling for Vargas, who obviously had a horrible first half. Yes, he was hurt. He missed the beginning part of the season, including spring training. He was brutal. Yes, he did have a better second half. I think he went three and two or something with like a 3 ERA, but you know. Damage was done. I mean, he was a good sport. I mean, I think he said this before he pitched his first game in spring training a few days ago, which he did pitch well. I think he pitched only one inning or so. But you know, he said that, you know, he to paraphrase what he was saying, like, you know, he's a team player, you know, he wouldn't have a problem with them getting another guy if it's going to help them win, you know. I mean, he said the right things, you know, so I give him credit. But Mets are banking a lot on veterans, just like they've had for Lord knows how long, you know. Todd Frazier is hurt. Brandon Nimmo, he's hurt after it's alleged from uncooked food he cooked that made him sick or something. I'm trying to think who else is hurt on this team. Jed Lowry, one of their key free agent signings. You know, he has a knee problem. And they recently signed Carlos Gomez to a minor league deal. The guy they almost reacquired 4 years ago in the non Wilmer Flores trade, which basically changed the complexion of the franchise, you know, as a result of them getting Yoenis Cespedes a few days afterwards. I think two days afterwards, at the deadline, July 31st, 4 years ago. So, basically Mets are going to see if they could catch a lightning in a bottle. They have a lot of veterans, you know, in camp. Rajay Davis, who was, you know, in a losing effort with the Cleveland Indians against the Cubs when he hit that game-tying home run off your boy Chapman. You know, before he re-signed with the Yankees in the offseason that year. But one more thing. Wheeler said that, you know, he wants to sign with the Mets, but he's not going to take a hometown discount. So if Mets got to be careful, you know, with this guy. This is his walk here. He finally had a good season. Hopefully he can have another. But, yeah, the most important thing is they got to lock up DeGrom. Obviously, he's not going to have there's a 99.99% chance he's not going to have a 0.70 ERA like he did last year, but he's bound to have another great year this year. So Mets got to do everything they can to re-sign DeGrom and hope they can stay healthy and try to contend for this division, because this division is tough. It's a 4-team division, seems like.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a tough challenge. When you got the Phillies now, they're looking better than ever. Braves are a good team, you know, and Nationals, even though they lost Harper, I mean, they still have very good pitching, you know, so they should still be good. And the Mets, you know, they've added, you know, their pieces, you know, got that trade for Cano. They've added some pitching. So, yeah, it's definitely got to be a wild National East, you know, this upcoming season. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Shifting gears with to hockey. Yeah, another big news out of hockey was the return of the former leader of the Islanders, John Tavares. You know, he returned to Nassau Coliseum, you know, to face the team he played for like a decade. And basically, it was evident that the fans still felt betrayed by him, you know, leaving them, because apparently at the trading deadline, they were thinking about trading him because, you know, he didn't sign an extension, but he promised that he was going to re-sign with them in the off season. But whether or not he was lying to them or changed their heart as soon as he was a free agent. So he basically signed with his hometown team, Toronto Maple Leafs. So as a result, you know, in the off season, the Islander fans felt betrayed because they had all their hope and faith, you know, in him to bring them back to eventually bring them back to, you know, the glory days that they had in the 80s, you know. So as a result, he returned back to play his first game in the Nassau Coliseum, you know, since he left them for free agency, and the fans really let him have it. They booed the heck out of him. They called him every name in the book, called him a traitor, burned jerseys, like throwing snakes onto the field. It was, you know,
where they got the snakes from? All those toy snakes.
They got toy snakes. You know, to show that he's a snake. You know, he's a traitor.
Wow.
You know, for abandoning them. And to put the icing on the cake, the Islanders beat the Maple Leafs 6-1.
Wow.
And, yeah, people are still talking about it. But the Maple Leafs bounced back and beat the Sabres by the final score of 5-2 today. So, you know, they put it behind them, you know, his first game back in Toronto after, you know, the infamous return, you know, in Nassau Coliseum against his former team. So, What's your thoughts on the whole situation?
Yeah, it's not a way to. It's not a way you'd want to be welcome back to the team, to the town that you play for. But hey, I could understand fans' frustrations with him after, you know, thinking that he's gonna come back with the team and then having him leave, the fans feeling betrayed. Shit, I would probably do something on the field, on the ice too. You know, again, what if went to one of those sex shops in Times Square and wore like a black dildo and throw it at his freaking helmet. You know? You'd throw the most vile and disgusting thing that you could at him. You know? And that's what they did. They threw stuff at him, made him feel worthless, and they got the win. And in the end, the Islanders did. So it's part of business. You know, it's part of business. A lot of these athletes, you know, they make business decisions. You know, a lot of times they'll switch teams or go sign with other teams because, you know, they're trying to better themselves or they do it for financial reasons. So, I mean, you can't blame them for that.
Man, you know, so it makes me wonder if Bryce Harper is going to have that introduction when he faced the Nationals.
Yeah.
I would assume later this month. And, you know, Porzingis is going to be, well, next year, you know, I assume he's going to re-sign with the Mavs. You know, that's going to be interesting with the reception, you know, the Knicks fans are going to give Porzingis when he returns, you know, since he allegedly, you know, demanded a trade because of, you know, the state of the Knicks, you know, in recent years, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see the reaction the fans are going to give him.
Yeah.
But before I go to the I talk about you know, Mitchell Robinson, you know, arguably the biggest highlight of this lost Knicks season. What player you think would what former player of your team you root for, whether it's the Yankees, Giants, Knicks? What player do you think would, you know, get a reaction of you, you know, the boo of a player that, a former player that played for your team?
Wow. Man. Who would I boo? That's a good question. I mean, it would definitely have to be someone that I feel betrayed our team. Betrayed us by leaving our team.
I honestly can't think of one myself.
Yeah, honestly. I can't think of one right now.
Especially in recent time. Look, maybe going back, I could think of some players that you could think, like, man, this player is a traitor. But off the top of my head right now, currently, I can't really think of a player.
There's no player I can think of right now.
Maybe if Joakim Noah became a superstar player and started averaging 20 points out of nowhere and racking double-doubles.
Yeah, but
you know,
he's really
like,
I didn't even care about Joakim Noah. He didn't even play for me to even care about him like that. So
I know.
You know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, unless if he just came, like, out of nowhere and became a superstar player and lived up to his potential. But, yeah, not even him, really. I mean, he was hurt. You know, he was never, like, he was always a great defensive player. But he's never an offensive player. So, I mean, it's not like he was, you know what I mean? Like, it would have to be like a Carmelo Anthony type of player for you to think, hey, man, you got, you know, this guy, you know, it was this great future Hall of Famer guy and he didn't do anything. But not even Carmelo Anthony is viewing that light, you know, especially not through me, because, you know, he tried to put the city on his back, you know. Obviously, he didn't play great defense, and he didn't have a great team around him. So, because of that, and not to mention, you know, Phil Jackson basically forcing him out of town, Carmelo Anthony is not going to get that reaction, and he hasn't gotten that reaction. As a matter of fact, he showed up in the Garden, you know, earlier this year, and he, you know, this season,
got
and
cheered.
You know, he got cheered, and rightfully so. So, yeah, honestly, I can't really think of a player of that ilk.
Yeah.
In modern day sports, especially for the teams we root for, you know, you with the Yankees, Knicks, and, you know, Giants and me with the, you know, Mets, Knicks, Jets. I can't really – honestly can't think of a player like that that would get that reaction.
There is a coach slash GM slash president.
Pat Riley?
Pat Riley. Oh, yeah. He's
probably the only one.
Cause...
I still think of him as a traitor because, you know, I really wish he would have stayed, and you know, he could have. I think he could have turned the franchise around. You know, he's arguably in the top five of Knicks head coaches. You know,
yeah.
So I really wish he would have stayed. I mean, I loved Van Gundy. You know, the way he, you know, him as a coach, but you know, I definitely put Pat Riley over him for sure. I mean, Pat Riley literally won every place he went to. Except for the Knicks. I mean, you know, he did take us to the finals in 94, but we're the only franchise he didn't win a title with.
Yeah, I mean,
you know.
And you know, when he did come back as, you know, he is the coach of the Heat, he got booed a lot here in the Garden, all the time, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
So I booed his ass. So
yeah, that's the only guy. I would boo him, too.
That's
the
only guy I booed, really. Yeah.
I'd boo Jordan if he came, when he comes, you know, as the owner of the – The Bobcats. No, not Bobcats. I mean, I'm trying to remember the name of the team now. Hornets. Because,
right.
You know, because they changed the name to the Hornets, rightfully so, you know, a few years ago.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I would still, those are the type of people I would boo. But those are the guys, are like the enemies of the Knicks from like the 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm old school. I'd boo him. I'd boo both of those guys. I'd boo Reggie Miller. You know, Chipper Jones. You know, every pop up in City Field. You know, even though he's mellowed. To his credit, Chipper Jones has mellowed out. You know, he hasn't been antagonistic with the fans. You know, he gives the Mets. Yeah, it has to be like a Hall of Fame type coach or manager to get that ilk. And I can't think of a current person right now who warrants that, that, you know, that heat from the fans in these other sport, in the local sports. But, shifting gears with, you know, with the to the Knicks, the modern day Knicks, Mitchell Robinson, he's been phenomenal. This guy has been averaging almost a double-double. Four or five, you know, block shots a game. And, you know, he had a blast from the past, you know, being coached, being visited by Pat Riley's former assistant coach, David Fizdale, and, of course, Marcus Camby, the former Knick great, who was, of course, coached by Van Gundy when he was with the Knicks. So, here's that segue from what we were just talking about. And basically, as you all know, DeAndre Jordan, ever since he's been traded to the Knicks in the Porzingis trade, he's been mentoring Mitchell Robinson. But where did DeAndre Jordan get his, you know, his tenacity, blocking shots and dunking from? It's from Marcus Camby when he was a rookie. And Marcus Camby was with the Clippers, you know, in the early 2000s.
Marcus Camby.
Thing, you know, everything comes full circle. So DeAndre Jordan, you know, is the mentor of Mitchell Robinson, but he was mentored by Marcus Camby, the former Knick great, you know, when they were teammates on Clippers. So now David Fizdale asks, Marcus Camby to come visit Mitchell Robinson to give him some advice to, you know, to make him, you know, live up to his potential. And, you know, the last game a few days ago, Latrell Sprewell and Marcus Camby both visited the Garden, you know, and they imparted wisdom to Mitchell Robinson. So, I mean, he's a keeper, man. They cannot treat this guy.
Oh, yeah, this guy has a great potential. You know, he's a double-double machine. And, yeah, he can only get better from here. So, with, you know, guys like Camby and Jordan, you know, helping him out and mentoring him. Yeah, he could be a superstar player in the upcoming years. You know, hopefully we do keep him. We don't trade this guy. But knowing the Knicks do foolish things, so I wouldn't be surprised if Knicks do trade him sometime here.
For real.
Because the Knicks are dead.
One thing they cannot do, they cannot overpay for any of these guys in the offseason. So,
which
see what happens, man. That's exactly what they'll do if they can't get Durant and Kyrie Irving to come. They're going to overpay for, you know, Jimmy Butler and you know, DeMarcus Cousins and Kimball Walker, you know, those type of players. Good players, but not, you know, franchise altering type players. You know. But we'll see what the Knicks do, man. And speaking of a player that changes the organization he works for, Kofi Kingston, man. Kofi Kingston is having the so far the best year ever. You know, he wowed everybody in the gauntlet match on the SmackDown of the week of Elimination Chamber.
And in Black History Month.
Yeah, Black History Month. And, of course, knowing WWE, they didn't capitalize on it. So, you know, he took Daniel Bryan and all the other competitors to the limit in the Elimination Chamber, which, you know, we spoke about last week. More in depth about that last week. And this past Tuesday was supposed to be the official signing of his contract, you know, his official title match that he was going to have at Fastlane. And, he was sitting down. Daniel Bryan was sitting down with Eric Rowan. And basically, you know, the New Day was with Kofi Kingston. As soon as I heard Vince McMahon music, man, I knew he was gonna do the same thing he did with Becky Lynch, you know, taking her out of the title picture, and just inserting Charlotte Flair, because Charlotte Flair has to win the 8th title in like 3 years she's been in the company, you know. So I knew there was gonna be a similar thing like that. Once I heard Vince McMahon's music came, I knew he was gonna do that.
Yeah,
I was just like, oh man, here we go again. And you know the fans, man, they just, once that music pops, you know, they get nostalgic. They're like, Vince McMahon's coming. But they don't remember. 99% of the time, he's usually a heel.
Yeah.
He rarely does stuff in their favor, in the fans' favor, you know. So once I knew he was coming, I'm like, oh boy, he's going to mess with Kofi. And sure enough, he did. And he took him out of the title picture, which I was not happy about. And then, you know, he replaced him with Kevin Owens, which, you know, Kevin Owens, you know, he's a phenomenal wrestler. I have no issues against him personally. They should just wait until WrestleMania to give him a title shot opportunity. You know what I mean? Because, you know, the rumor was that Kofi Kingston was going to face Daniel Bryan at Fastlane, but lose to Daniel Bryan, and then Daniel Bryan was going to face Kevin Owens for the title at WrestleMania, which I thought was a bad idea. So once that happened, I wasn't happy about the decision. But then when I thought about it logically, I was like, maybe this will ensure the chance that Kofi Kingston will win the title at WrestleMania. Because if he faces him at Fastlane, the odds of him winning the title is slim, because he would have to lose the title at Fastlane and then gain another opportunity again to try to win the title at WrestleMania, which most likely that would be killing his momentum. So by them switching, flip-flopping Kevin Owens' tough fight at Fastlane, which, to be honest with you, this pay-per-view should not even exist anymore, because the brand split is basically over, you know, because everybody's going on both shows anyway. So Fastlane should have never happened. Elimination Chamber should have been the last pay-per-view event before WrestleMania. The Fastlane pay-per-view event has no juice to it whatsoever. It's literally a waste of time, you know. So, what was I gonna say? So my opinions on Kofi getting taken out of the match changed, because if they do this and Kevin Owens loses and then Kofi gets an opportunity, and you know, to win at WrestleMania, then this will work out. So what was your initial thoughts about this whole move?
I was pissed off, man. Pissed off that Vince did that. This has been a long-awaited moment for Kofi to get this title shot, and Vince McMahon screws him out of it. And now we have to watch Daniel Bryan and Kevin Owens. I mean, like you said, Kevin Owens is established. He's a very good wrestler. I'm sure they're going to have a very good match. But the fans, we wanted Kofi in there. That was his moment. I hope this is just a front for Kofi getting a shot at WrestleMania. I hope it is.
That's what I'm hoping too.
You know, or else I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be like marching like those lesbians in those the LGBT community out there. So they better not mess with me. So I'm saying, yeah, man, it's pissed off. Pissed off, man.
Well, I'm hoping he can, you know, like you just said, I'm hoping, and I guess what I said also earlier too, I hope this is a smokescreen for them to, you know, give Kofi his opportunity, his big moment at WrestleMania, because, you know, if they didn't give him the moment at Elimination Chamber, you know, it makes perfect sense for them to give him his moment at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I mean, I was arguing about the same thing about Bayley a few years ago. Like, you know, when a fan favorite hasn't won the title, and you're so close to WrestleMania, it's best to just wait at WrestleMania for them to win the title.
Right.
With Bayley, they made her win like probably in Fastlane like a few years before that, or whatever the pay-per-view event was called before the WrestleMania that they had. You know, when Becky, I think she defeated Charlotte. I think it was either Charlotte or Sasha. I think it was Charlotte. Yeah, I think it was Charlotte. I think Bayley only won the title against Charlotte, unless she beat Bayley once.
I can't remember either.
But yeah, I was PO'd at first, but thinking about it, you know, it only works if Kofi Kingston gets a title shot opportunity at WrestleMania and wins it. Or else this is just going to be a waste of time. This is going to be like Booker T versus Triple H all over again. You're not, people like you don't win a title. And, you know, the bad guy win, you know. Or even WrestleMania 2000, where all the McMahons were surrounding all the wrestlers in the ring, and Vince McMahon screwed The Rock out of a title, which ultimately happened 2 years in a row, WrestleMania 2000 and WrestleMania 17, so which was 2001. So back-to-back years, Vince McMahon tricked The Rock and cost him the title, which, I mean, you would have assumed if you were The Rock, you would have you would have learned your lesson the year prior to that, but apparently he didn't. But I guess in his credit, who would have thought Vince McMahon would have turned on The Rock to help all-time nemesis Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yeah.
In Houston that year, but you know, it was one of the most iconic moments in WWE history. So,
it definitely was.
Hopefully at WrestleMania, what is it, 35? Oh, I forgot what number it is. You know, I think it's 35. You know, in the Meadowlands, you know, Kofi Kingston will have a happy ending. You know, finally winning the title and defeat ending Daniel Bryan's reign, which I never thought in a million years I'd want to see Daniel Bryan's title reign end. But Man, that's how much Kofi deserves it, man. I hope this is his year. And we'll talk about that more next time. Do you have anything you'd like to say quickly?
Yeah, check out my show IMAX Saturdays at 10, and come back here, check out Sports of a Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Blog Talk Radio.
You're the guy. Check out both shows. Check out my YouTube show, Sports of a Legend TV, and I'll see you guys next time. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.